Happy Friday. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. Bill's winding up a memorable vacation in Canada with some of the most beautiful photos I have seen from any of his trips. So go check them out on his Facebook page. Bill, we're looking forward to having you back next week. It is Friday, October 17th. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, and the Sahuarita Sun sitting in. One last time before Bill's return, Brendan Kraft is the techie on the board, producing and engineering the show nearby. Good to see you, Brendan.
Good to see you too, Dan.
And Friday is our day to thank the Buckmaster Show media partners. Those include TucsonSentinel.com and the publisher editor over there, Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Spotlight. You'll find all of those and more on Bill's website, buckmastershow.com. You can find the archive of all of Bill's shows there, too. It is just a treasure trove. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. If you have a question or comment anytime during the show, give us a call at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Welcome aboard, Mayor Murphy.
Well, thank you. It's another great Friday in Sahuarita, and I think Bill brought some of that Canadian cool-off weather down into our area, so I'm very happy about that.
I tell you. So in this intro, I always have to say Sahuarita correctly one time so people know at least I do it, but I'm wondering if we could possibly change the name of the town, because so many people struggle with it. Oh, including you.
Oh, absolutely, but that would be a no. It's better for us to learn how to do it properly than change the name. One of our Fiesta Sahuarita t-shirts many years ago had all the different pronunciations on the back. Do you remember that? Uh-huh. And it was something like, no matter how you say it, it's just a great place to live. So I'm going with that.
Yeah, that's saving it right there. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's good. So a week ago, as you just mentioned, regarding the weather, a week ago, we were talking about the potential for a lot of rain all over southern Arizona and actually all over the state. People were feeling sandbags, planning to stay home over the weekend and just kind of holing up, which was good. But nothing much happened down our way. We got some rain, of course. And I know Tucson got hit a lot harder than us, but you still have to prepare for the worst in those situations.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I was actually a little nervous when I started seeing the weather reports.
Sure.
And we were talking, you know, about multiple inches, almost the equivalent of a whole year's worth of rainfall.
Exactly.
Within a couple of days. And, you know, pretty close with my mayors up in Miami and Globe. And to watch the destruction up there, you know, just breaks my heart. But no, we're prepared. You know, we had a flooding incident a few years ago down by Abrego, and it really put Public Works, you know, into the fold to really understand who owns these different washes, mm-hmm. whether it's the county, the town, or HOAs in a lot of cases, and really be proactive with reaching out to them to make sure that we're inspecting them and everybody understands their responsibility. And also, we've had, you know, barricades and cones pre-positioned. So, you know, we're certainly on top of it. But as new growth comes and new roads come, like down in El Toro, we're certainly vigilant on the possibility of those flooding events. But I certainly was a little nervous for a couple of the days. And fortunately, we did get some rain because we need it.
Yep.
With the water shortages, we'll take it. But I think we're well prepared and more on top of who owns what and keeping up on making sure those responsibilities are carried out.
There's a road, I called it for years, the Road to Nowhere or the Road to Walmart,
yes.
Which I'm sure it made you happy. But it was actually half a road. It would go to the Santa Cruz River, and then they built the other half, and it is, I use it all the time, it's a great road. But it has on it what they call a low-flow bridge.
Yes.
And so this was, instead of building a multi-million dollar bridge and never having to worry about flood water on it, we just had this. And you know what? If it floods, you shut the gates. But I think all these several years later, I don't know that we've ever had to close that.
No, I'm not aware of that either. And also working with the county, we put some measuring weather stations on each end of them and upstream as well, so we can actually understand it's coming before it actually does. As you know, a couple of our major events over the years happened substantially west of us, mm-hmm. On the TO Nation. And it, of course, it flows towards the Santa Cruz River. And we didn't have any rain in the town on a couple of those mm-hmm. events. but it picked up a big storm cell out near Sells, and you know, we all of a sudden it hit just instantly almost. So having those, and as you mentioned, that road wouldn't be here now if we were waiting for the funding to build that full bridge extension. And to this point, rather have a road that may be closed one or two half days a year, potentially. But since, we haven't had to close it.
Right. And I think at the time it was being built, we actually looked into that flow of that river and how many times in the past X number of years would it have to have been closed. And
right.
It was very, very minimal. It was a good move by the council. I wasn't so sure at the time, mm-hmm. but it turned out to be a good move.
Right. And also the parts that were put in, if the monies ever became available or this was an event that happened year after year, we could actually build off of that structure. Right. So it was built for the future, but not necessarily knowing if it was even going to be necessary
right.
moving forward. And it really has helped bring a lot of economic development from the east side of our town, where it was probably a little easier to go down on Continental mm-hmm. Road, which is technically Pima County, so mm-hmm. we don't cover those local sales taxes. But, you know, now over to where the Sprouts and Walmart and that area is, that actually... you know, helped to do what I remember Councilmember Gil Lusk, who lived down in Quail Creek when he was on our council, he was a big champion of that road. So mm-hmm. I'm sure he's smiling right now that it actually did what he was thinking. And we did it within almost the cost of what a normally expensive construction project from the design almost alone. Would it have been, because we could avoid that very, very expensive bridge.
Yeah, and those of you at home who are shaking your fist at the radio and saying, that Sprouts and Walmart are in Green Valley. Well, they have a Green Valley mailing address because half the town has a Green Valley zip code, and I'll never get over it.
No, me as well, and also a bunch of east and west of our town has a Sahuarita zip code. So
yes.
When there's needs in those areas, they'll call us, and I'll have to call our county, you know, administration and say, yeah, can you, you know, take care of this, because it is a convoluted zip code, but it's a very interesting process that you have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And change, as you know, in our area does not always come easily. So I can't imagine going out to some of these areas and say, we're taking away your quaint Green Valley zip code mailing address, and I'm going to send you all to Dan Shearer to pronounce
yes.
Sahuarita.
There we go.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, I'll give you some little journalism insight, because as you pointed out, we were expecting almost a year's worth of rain at one point, and that is exactly what the forecast was about 5-6 days out. I had seen, oh, it could be up to 10 inches in the mountains or whatever, and I looked at my crew here in the newsroom, and I said, yeah, we're not going to report that. Let's wait another day, and another day it was about half that.
Right.
And because these storms just were really complicated to track, and we're talking about three systems actually when it all comes down to it. And we thought, all we're gonna do, you know, we would report, yeah, they expect 10 inches of rain. And can you imagine, that would have been the only thing people would have remembered.
Absolutely.
And it would have been just chaos. And we thought, we're gonna sit on this another 24 hours and just see exactly what happens. And then we just started reporting the daily reports.
But I've learned over my years, it changes almost from minute to minute,
absolutely.
Hour to hour, day to day.
Yep.
So I used to get panicked, you know, days and weeks out when you hear these things coming, but I've learned over time that, you know, until you get really close to it, sort of you're, you know, damned if you do and damned if you don't,
absolutely.
You know, when you're reporting. But yeah, if you, you know, predicted doom and gloom and all of a sudden the sun came out, which it did on some occasions, I can imagine the calls to your newspaper.
You know, I thought, now who am I going to blame this on? Because we reported it, but we're just reporting what the weather service says. So by Sunday afternoon, I'm thinking, man, I hope the rain starts falling. And it did.
Right.
But it turned out to be a very good thing, and nobody hurt. And I know a few rescues up in Tucson, because we talked to the Tucson Fire Department and such. So all in all, I think we were all winners there.
Yeah, no, so. Absolutely. And, you know, but the basic point is, you know, we do watch it, and we are prepared, and we're really communicating with the various WASH owners, which I've learned is very, the amount
sure.
changes, you know, and who owns these, and really having a better grasp on that
yep.
and making sure we're in good communication with them to make sure the brush and the debris is cleared out at the right time of the year.
And, sure. you know, you can't give those warnings often enough about, you know, don't hang out in a WASH, because one minute the water is not there, and the next minute you got a, you know, a foot or two rolling at you. I have a wash right behind my house, and it's exactly like that. It comes off of the mines, and it comes down and on its way to the river, and it can be dry as a bone, and the next minute you have a foot of water coming through there. It'll just sweep you right off your feet.
Yeah, and it's like whitewater rapids. I mean, literally, and the power of that, people don't understand. They might be in their car or their pickup trucks. And the water doesn't take prisoners. You know, it moves.
Bad news. You mentioned economic development a little bit early, and we have some breaking news here on the Buckmaster Show. Bill's always glad when he can break news, and he does it often. And we're going to break a little bit of news here because it's pretty fresh. What's coming to Sarita?
Yeah, no, we're very excited. We learned just a couple of days ago that Roadhouse Cinema closed, working with the bank. We had Desert Sky Movie Theater that went into bankruptcy, and we've been courting them. We have some sophisticated AI software that tracks shopping habits and things, and we were able to show not only how many people went up to Harkins, you know, up on Spectrum, which obviously wasn't a shock to us, but we were a little surprised on how many thousands of people went up to the Roadhouse on Grant from Sowarita, and that was really eye-opening for us, and we were able to communicate that with Roadhouse Cinema, and they're a great user group. It's a great provider of a high-class movie experience, not only, you know, from the movie, but also from food and, you know, the leather chairs, and they'll deliver the food, you know, to you in the theater or in the restaurant part. So I'll be in touch with them hopefully next week and find out when they'll be submitting the permits, because they'll probably be gutting the whole inside of that old movie theater. I know you've been in there, and it needed a lot of work.
Yeah, it needed a lot of work even when it was open.
Yes.
I mean, and I believe it's six screens, and I think what they're going to do is take it down to four, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, but there's also capacity on the site to actually expand over time,
right.
And I think they are looking at that. So working with Gary Heinfeld, you know, who owns the property itself around there, it's a collaborative relationship between Roadhouse and him. And I was, you know, I wanted at the State of the Town a few weeks ago to officially announce it then. I know we were really close, but it's been a really great working relationship with them. And it'll be a wonderful amenity addition to our community. And not only to Sowarita, as you know, a lot of the folks down in Green Valley have time on their hands. They would prefer not to be going up by 19, especially recently with all the accidents and unfortunately some with loss of life. It was interesting. I think it was yesterday. I had to. I went down into Green Valley to talk to the Green Valley Council, and there were Highway Patrol, State Police doing speed checks.
Oh yes,
all over the place.
I saw that too.
Yeah,
I saw three people pulled over. Yes. And within about a mile and a half stretch.
Yeah, so I'm appreciative of that because. I literally will drive up there, you know, usually 75, which is the speed limit, you know, and sometimes creep to 80. And you've probably experienced this too, Dan. And people will blow by you.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're standing still.
Oh, yeah.
And if I'm going 75 or 80, I can't even imagine what they must be, you know, driving at to do that. But hopefully that they brought some sanity back to some of the speed limits.
Well, it doesn't get any better going south. I'm in Nogales at least once a week and heading down there at 75 all the way. But man,
yes,
it gets a little dicey there. Before we go to break, Sarita's out of the Halloween business.
Well, not technically.
yeah, we still have some skin in the game.
We do.
No masks or candy.
Yes. Well, we decided to partner with a couple of the groups locally. The Villas out of Green Valley, which probably would attract some of our southern part of our town.
Mm-hmm.
And their event is actually next Thursday. And then with Rancho Sarita, which is about half our town population, their event is this Saturday. And, you know, in some ways, all of our events, especially our signature events, you know, have gotten more expensive over time. And you crunch a lot of these in together. It puts a lot of weight. And also, because Rancho Sarita is half our population, a lot of times there's a duplication.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Trunk or Treat. We've had Trunk or Treat. And so this is a new look at it. Obviously, we have a budget retreat every year, and we have a you know, a new budget that comes before the mayor and council. So, you know, we're watching it. We're looking
at it. So we had this very, very popular event. Yes. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I mean, it was just hairy going out there.
Yeah.
Spooktacular, I think is what it was. And so it said, we're taking the money.
Some of it.
Giving it to these two groups.
These two groups, and then reallocating the rest of it to our other signature events, Fiesta Sahuarita,
yes.
Red, White, and Bloom, and Winterfest, which is coming up in December.
So Rancho Sahuarita, which had a private event,
yes.
now has decided, has agreed.
Yes.
We'll take
open
the cash
up to the public.
And, yeah, and it's great, and they do great events.
Yes, so. They do. And of course, you know, they have a lot of home building going on, so opening it up to the entire community probably works from a positive perspective,
sure.
you know, from marketing and such, and get people to look at their new home projects that are coming out of the ground.
Okay, we are one segment into our Friday Focus interview with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. Time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery.
I'm still working on that, Dan. I've got Roadhouse. Come on. We're bringing
you Roadhouse.
Right. I'll have to work on Mona's
next.
But
it's
next.
Not the bakery.
It is not.
I tell you, I was just in downtown Tucson, and man, there was a great bakery there, too. And I thought, okay, it's going to happen. People
right.
want it, and I know you're working hard on it.
Absolutely.
Sure you are.
No, okay. I visit them.
Mona's is great. Mona's Danish Bakery, that's the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's home to the Danish Kringle and a wide range of incredible European-style pastries. Mona's is open every day but Monday at 7. Stop by, say hi to Steve, the owner, and then enjoy a pastry, cup of coffee, anything you'd like to drink over there. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Check out the project list for a new $2.67 billion regional transportation plan that Pima County voters will consider next March. The RTA Next Plan proposes improvements in the greater Tucson region to reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. It will also expand transit, bike, and pedestrian options for another 20 years. Voters will be asked to okay a half-cent countywide sales tax to continue RTA improvements. The tax rate will not increase. Learn more about the proposed plan and projects at RTANext.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. He'll be back next week. We're talking with Sawadita and Mayor Tom Murphy. And Tom, because of your various roles on other panels and groups and everything, your reach is much farther than Sawadita. I don't know that you care about those as much as you care about our town. But
well, I will never care as much about the others as I do about our town. But no, it's I think regionally. I try to act regionally, and you know, we're only as strong as our weakest partner, you know, in the area. So you know, I'd like to see us all thrive together.
Well, and to that end, on March 10th, we're going to be voting on the RTA Next plan.
I didn't know that.
I thought you were the one who told me. That's the Regional Transportation Authority. They're asking for a 20-year extension of a countywide half-cent sales tax that was okayed in 2006. It would largely fund transportation projects. So we have a track record here, but we also have a recent history, maybe across the state, if we could say that, of voters saying no to things because of costs going up in lots of different places. Now that we're a little bit closer to it, what do you think about this?
Yeah, no, I'm much more encouraged than I was in the past, because if you don't have a consistent message and everybody being on the same page, it makes it hard, as you mentioned. Tucson's lost a couple of ones. We had a bond initiative that failed. So, you know, you have to be aware that there is obviously stresses on the economy for the average, you know, family, as well as, to some cases, mistrust in government. So you package those together and it makes it really tough. But I think we have put together, I mean, I don't think anybody's 100% happy from each municipality. If we had it to do it on our own, but we didn't, you know, we have to work with others. So, you know, my opinion is that, you know, that $2.4 or $5 billion, the cavalry's not coming from either the state or the feds. Mm-hmm. And if we want this investment in our infrastructure, no matter how that looks, from transit to road rehabilitation to adding new interchanges and roads, it's up to me, so to speak, right?
Sure.
And this region honestly cannot do without that investment if we have any hope of, you know, being a regional player within the state and also within our greater region in the Southwest. So again, you know, no plan is ever perfect, but I think it put enough in there for everybody, you know, to help hopefully get it over the finish line. I know the industry is, you know, out there raising money because it's going to take a marketing campaign and it's going to take a lot of press to cover it. But I think it's absolutely necessary if the health of our region is going to be maintained.
And what we'll hear, and heaven forbid I sound like a politician, is that it really isn't a tax increase. It's just a continuation, an extension for 20 years of an existing half-cent sales tax countywide.
Yes.
Now, obviously, if you vote no and it goes down, then you get that half cent back.
Right.
But I have not seen the figure about, say, me, Joe, average guy, in a year, how much am I paying because of that half cent?
Yeah, well, it would vary because it's a sales tax. So it's a consumption tax. And also, you know, to me, some of the advantage of it is if you're doing a property tax, it's only on the residents, whether in the region or your town. Where a sales tax, you know, you think of the amount of visitors that, one, use our roads, but also come through our communities. They're also helping fund from outside residents for our infrastructure that's important to our region. And what I tell people is, you know, if it does go down, you better save each of those half cents, because if our roads, now, you know, we have, you know, really good road conditions down in Sawarita, but it's not that case for the whole region. You better save those pennies, because between tires and shocks and front end alignments and things like
I've driven in Tucson.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a messy place up here.
And so I think, you know, it's very important. And to your point, it is a continuation. You know, I don't look at, you know, if I go to Fry's, I don't notice if it's 8.1 or, you know, 7.6 from the half cent. But, you know, it is a tax, but it is, I think, something very important. As you know, the gas tax hasn't been adjusted in like 30 plus years.
Right.
We still haven't had you know, between hybrid and electric cars, we haven't come up with a solution on where they would pay anywhere. Well, they don't pay anything, so never mind fair share. Nothing gets contributed to it. And, you know, it's good that, you know, engines went from 20 miles per gallon to 35 miles per gallon. But between that and not adjusting the gas tax, we're collecting less.
Right.
But we're still using the roads.
Right.
And, you know, when we hear from site selectors about investment in our area, one of the things that always comes up is, one, collaboration, and two, the condition of our roads.
Right.
So if, you know, from an economic development standpoint, as well as quality of life, I think it certainly is necessary that people take a hard look at it. I will be, you know, we'll have three votes in my family that will be voting yes on it. And it's very important because we have to act and think regionally.
But I know it's a hard number to come by, but has there been any best guesses as to what your average person pays in that half cent?
Yeah, no, not that I've seen. I can certainly bring it up. But again,
hard one to nail down
because we have visitors which come and go. And then depending on, you know, if you spend more, you're paying more towards it. So it does, in its way, feel fair because, you know, people with means who are buying more things or more expensive things are paying more towards that. So again, between the state and the feds, this brings in about $110 million a year. To the region, where a combination between state and federal funding is only about 40. So if this 100 million plus disappears for the next 20 years, we will not be in a good place based on infrastructure.
We had an interesting thing happen in Sahuadita and an interesting outcome. Last November, the town received a bad batch of compost. It was filled with shards of glass and metal, but nobody realized it until it was spread across most of the public ball fields in Sarita. And I went out there and I'm looking at these fields and I'm picking glass and metal out of them. The town is recouping money from that mess. Don't want to talk about that. But you also stumbled upon an idea that's going to save us money in the future.
Yes, about $50,000 a year. So working with the county, actually took a lead on this, is how to, you know, with new chemicals and new science and such, can we extend the life of the summer Bermuda grass and not do the overseeding with rye? Because as you know, our age is 37, so we have a lot of families and a lot of uses of the fields. And even when we've reseeded dog parks in the past, you know, it's been a challenge to keep, you know, these fields and things open. So we're doing a pilot program extending the health of the summer grass. And again, the reseeding will save us about $50,000 a year. But more importantly, it's really how to use science and technology to keep the fields open longer without having to close them. Because if you don't reseed at the right time and you don't do the right watering or you overwater, you know, it's a challenge, and the fields are not usable, you know, when we're doing that. And obviously the weather gets really nicer in the winter. So if we're closing these fields, so it's a pilot program and we're going to be watching it, but we hope that it is successful.
But last year we didn't overseed because we were picking glass out of the fields.
Yes.
And then, so the fields go from green to, oh, let me use the town's word, blonde, also known as yellow and dead, but I know it's not technically dead.
I like
dead.
Blonde
it's
better.
It's dormant.
It's dormant.
I get it. Okay, blonde. Good grief. Who writes this stuff? Anyway, so that's what we get. And did you have many complaints?
No, actually we didn't. And actually more of it was, thanks for having the fields open.
Yeah,
because,
sure.
You know, in the deep of summer when it's really hot and the kids are out of school, they may be using them, but not in the same way as organized sports will. And of course, we have a good relationship with all of our user groups. So this was in collaboration with them, and it was well supported, especially, you know, we can always pivot if it doesn't work. But, you know, watching Pima County and how they've been able to extend the useful life of the summer grass, we thought it was worth taking a look at and trying for sure.
And homeowners for years have been told don't overseed in the winter.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And just let it go that way. And then now we're doing it. Kind of wonder why it wasn't thought of before. But this awful event last year has turned into perhaps something that's going to save the town some money.
Yes, and again, keep the fields open so the kids can use them for their organized sports, which is, to me, the most important part of it.
Very good. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We are with Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations, they receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer sitting in for Bill. And we have Robert on the line. Robert, you have a question about RTA for Mayor Tom Murphy.
Yeah, just wondering, you know, if you're going to enhance the sewage treatment plant, then, yeah, go ahead and deal with property tax and commercial property tax, because those are the people that use the sewer. So why isn't this money being generated out of gas tax so that only drivers pay their way?
Yes, no, great question. Well, all of the HERF money that is collected, the Highway User Revenue Fund, is used for it. But as mentioned earlier, it hasn't been adjusted in over 30 years. And there's been multiple attempts mostly electric cars, to figure out a way, whether it's a higher registration fee. So right now, electric cars specifically contribute nothing to road maintenance. And, you know, in a lot of cases, because of, you know, the batteries and such, they're heavier and they don't contribute anything to the maintenance of the road. So all of that money is used, but between fuel efficiency and electric cars and no adjustment to the gas tax, it just isn't enough. You know, the Arizona Department of Transportation in the next five-year plan has really no money for new roads and expansion, and it doesn't even cover what they know is the need for keeping your condition use index up to a reasonable rate. So, I mean, that's the way it should work, but it just hasn't been adjusted to keep up with the, and also the inflation cost of asphalt and reconstruction has gone up. So your expenditures have gone up and your revenues have gone down. So it just doesn't cover it.
Yeah, good thought, Robert. Thank you for that. Do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, in my world, I would increase it an additional half cent to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're going to say the economy is in no shape to be raising taxes, but when is the economy ever going to welcome increased taxes? Never.
Yeah, but I think the question, Robert, is, the economy is in a place where people aren't going to be real excited about paying more, but would they vote for something like this? And I'll tell you, a year ago, we had a bond up in Sarita, and it was well laid out. They really surveyed people. What would you be willing to pay every month for this? And so they did all the legwork on this that you could possibly do, and everyone kind of thought it was going to go through. It went down in flames.
Right.
And
yeah, 60-40. And, you know, you can do the surveying that people want, better roads and such. But the problem is when it comes to actually voting to pay for it, that's a different, you know, and that was one of the choices we had. We do have the legislative authority to go up to a cent. But as Dan mentioned earlier, from a political perspective, to say this is a continuation, and I spent many years on the school board before being on the council, and that was a good marketing message that it's not going to go up. It's just going to be a continuation. So if we went for anything over a half cent, you know, we wouldn't have that message. It would really be we want what we had and we want a little more. And I don't know if that would resonate in this environment today.
And to Robert's point about the gas tax, I believe Arizonans pay 18 cents a gallon, and that has not changed since the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's 1990, actually.
Right, and so by comparison, I believe it's over 50 cents a gallon in California, and we are among the lowest in the country. Why has this not gone up? And that's really more rhetorical, because
right.
You're certainly not responsible for it, but
right.
That's what we're talking about in the gas tax. Every gallon you're paying 18 cents, and that is a bargain compared to most states.
Right. And if you don't have that money to invest in infrastructure, which the construction costs are continually going up, that's where you put yourself in this situation. So they could either do it and adjust the gas tax at the legislature, or, you know, leave it up to the various regions. Two of the biggest ones is MAG and PAG, Maricopa mm-hmm. Association and Pima Association. But we're the only ones that have that authority. So that tax that is collected statewide for Arizona Department of Transportation has to be utilized for the rest of the 20% of our state.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of a sudden this fails and you bring in Pima County to it along with the others, that minuscule amount that's spread out amongst 20% of the state now is going to have to be spread out by 20 plus Pima County, which will not keep up with the needs and the improvements for our infrastructure.
Rancho Sarita, which you mentioned earlier, is about half the town. It's a planned development. They inquired about a data center as all this Project Blue stuff was going down in Tucson and Pima County. They inquired about zoning and putting one of these, not that they had anybody on the line or anything, but
correct.
Could they do it? And would you support that if that were to be the case?
Yes. Well, just across the board, you know, my mantra is Sahuarita is open for business. And that would be one of those instances because it is zoned. As you know, it's around the landfill. And on the other side is the mine tailings.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about a place, an appropriate place, you know, to me, that is the site for it. And you know, I try to be consistent, you know, whether it's, you know, you want your, everybody wants their Amazon guaranteed by tomorrow, but nobody wants a distribution site near you. We all want the advantages of copper, right?
Yeah.
And our minerals and our rare earth minerals, but nobody wants to open a mine. And AI technology, I'm, you know, just enthralled by the advances and the potential, and it is a tool, and I always use the hammer as an example. A hammer can build or it can be used for bad.
Mm-hmm.
AI, I think, is a lot of that way, from medical to others. I know you featured, you know, what AA can do, you can take a still shot and make a movie out of it, which is a little scary.
Yeah, very scary.
From that, but, you know, I don't want to be left behind in there. And that particular site is very unique because we have the high-powered lines going through the area. So from the electrical perspective, water, the same developer has a water company with a 100-year assured water supply for the residential. And then we have major fiber, both down I-19 from the state, as well as we just entered into another agreement with a fiber provider. We have Wired and then a new one that we just approved. So if you put zoning, electricity, water, and fiber, there aren't a lot of sites in southern Arizona that would qualify, and this happens to be one of them. So I would be personally excited to see about that. It would be the largest construction project ever in the town of Sahuarita.
Right.
It'd be north of $1 billion.
Wow.
So you think of assessed value, construction sales tax, you know, not a ton of jobs, but they would be high paying jobs.
Right.
And so I think it would be a great opportunity for us.
El Tour de Tucson, it's been coming through Sahuarita and Green Valley for, is this third or fourth year?
Yeah, I think it was 2021.
Oh, okay, great.
So the first one we partnered with them.
So we're coming up on this again. Tell me specifically, what is the direct benefit of having this come through? Because for a lot of people look at it as, yeah, the roads are all gunked up. It comes right through the main drag there on Sahuarita Road and everything. It's really cool to see the cyclists out there have been out there every year and Green Valley and everything. It gums up everything, let's be honest. What's the direct benefit?
Well, I think earlier it was more about, you know, pride in our community, pride in our roads, as we mentioned earlier. When I attended one of the feedback sessions afterwards, we were rated as the best road sector of that. And, you know, early on, is there a direct benefit? Does somebody come and look at buying a home or, you know, shopping and things like that? You know, maybe it's really hard to make that connection. But the recent contract, they've been, one, great to work with. Two, you know, their benevolence, they've raised over $130 million since 1983 for nonprofits. A lot of people don't, they see it more as an inconvenience as opposed to the positive benefits. So that's been good. But this recent contract we negotiated with them, there will be actually some financial benefit. They're going to pay over the next 2 years upwards of $50,000 towards our police department for reimbursement. For traffic control and such, as well as up to 8%, or no, minimum of 8% will actually be returned to nonprofits in the town of Sahuarita. So early on, it was probably more, you know, pride and showing off our community when we have, I think it's 10,000 bicyclists. It's been named the bicycle event of America, I know at least once. So now we have that financial recouping on there. And, you know, we pride ourselves, one of our strategic plan goals is a healthy community. And there's nothing like seeing you in biking shorts, you know, out there driving through the community.
Not going to happen. So, I can tell you that. But I do enjoy watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And, you know, and I'm really happy that we were able to show some direct benefit, all, you know, not only for putting it on, but when we had our aid station down on Quail Creek Memorial Park, we had a lot of good feedback that was one of our one of the better aid stops along the way. And, you know, it's a unique experience, as you know, going through the pecan trees. So you have a lot of people that don't even know that exists in, you know, in Arizona, never mind Sahuarita. So, but again, having this return of investment to our nonprofits, I think, is a big win.
Let's stick to the helping out businesses. As you say, Sahuarita is open for business. The town of Sahuarita wants to have an incentive plan in place by year's end. My surprise was that we didn't have one before. I know we've given some incentives in cases, but what's this going to look like, do you think, when we get one in place, and what's the value of it?
Yeah, it was, you know, we're looking at probably having it in front of the mayor and council in November. We've had a couple study sessions on it, and you're correct. When we brought the Sprouts complex in, you know, they were more one-off opportunities, especially based on what we were hoping to bring in. unique retail, or, you know, in this case, the movie theater, which we don't have now. And really what it does is it puts tools in a toolbox so our economic development folks have something they can count on, which other communities have, Marin and Oro Valley, and they all look different. But they have to pass the gift clause test, from there. But, you know, I don't want to be one of the communities that it's, you know, one off and the investors have to guess what they may get or may not get. So it'll just be a set of standards that everybody can count on. And when our ED folks are out there, they get to point to this, package. And incentives, as I've learned over the years, might be a little bit towards the tipping point. We can't compete with other states that, have oil or coal that they actually establish a fund to do a lot of these things. But it could be that small piece, one, to show that we're open for business and we're open to having those discussions. But also if that's a piece of the puzzle that makes it a doable project, I think it's a good thing to have. And it has to, again, pass the legal test.
Well, speaking of discussions, we don't have time to get into it right now, but I thought one of the more interesting town council discussions of late was whether to buy our own Christmas tree.
Yes.
And we opted not to.
Yes.
Because we don't have a place to put it.
Right.
You know, when you get one that big.
And the labor, you have to store it, that you have to put it up and take it down and store it. And you don't get to change it, So if you want to change color themes. And I think your quote was, why don't we have a Christmas tree? Damn it.
I think Thomas misread my email.
Oh, it might have been.
or maybe not. So,
but it'll be an ongoing discussion when.
People drive by, they see all the decorations, but they don't know how they came about.
Yes.
And that's how much
and how much effort goes into that. I mean, they spend days and days wrapping trees and putting this thing up. And
so we hire people to come in and do it, and maybe that's the best thing. Now I can only imagine this staff, which is like really just it's a growing community. They're very, very busy. Suddenly it's like now you get to do the tree.
Right. And take a week off of everything else that you have to do, including planning the event where all the decorations, Winterfest,
absolutely,
right, get to be used.
Oh man. Okay. I want to thank Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy. I like that you hardly ever dodge questions.
You ask them, I'll answer them. You may not like my answer all the time, but I'll answer them.
I love the discussion. So thank you very much for being here.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Okay. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your weekend. Don't forget our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
A proposed $2.6 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 88,000 jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
It is time for Weekend Watch. It's a great way to plan your next couple of days, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. We get our weekend roadmap from the crew over at 101.7 The Drive. Welcome to Leslie Lois.
Welcome. Thank you. Welcome.
Come on, you're supposed to be used to being on the air.
I know. What's wrong with me?
You're on far more. Yeah, it surprised you that you're on. Okay. Well, we had a beautiful weekend ahead.
Yes. Big one is Tucson Meet Yourself.
Yes.
It's very well known as Tucson Eat Yourself. It kicked off at 11 this morning, going on till 10 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, wow, 11 to 10, and then Sunday, 11 to 6. I mean, it brings so many people downtown to celebrate food, music, dance, and arts of our city's many cultures. I mean, definitely bring money for food, because there's so many different kinds of food you want to try there.
I was just downtown this morning and watching a lot of setup and people walking by in uniforms and costumes and whatever, and I thought, okay, they're getting ready to roll.
It's at Yakima, I believe that's how you say it, Plaza, over on Stone. So, I mean, if you go downtown, you can't miss it.
No, it's not that big.
Something kind of cool going on tonight. It's an ABBA Skate Night fundraiser for Hope of Deliverance. I know. It's kind of cool. So Hope of Deliverance is a great rescue here in town that helps very much dogs in need, sure, that need, you know, they are a really great organization. This is actually happening at Skate Country tonight, 5 to 7. It's a $5 entry and $5 skate rental. What a fun thing to do.
Did you say it's ABBA?
Yes,
skate night?
ABBA.
You know, I thought we left ABBA in the 80s, but they just are enduring and they're awesome.
Absolutely.
Very good. What else we have?
We also have the 19th annual Tucson Classic Car Show going on, mm-hmm, tomorrow at the Gregory School. It's a really cool event. Over 400 classic cars go on. There's music, there's food vendors, there's also a raffle. This is happening 10 to 4, and Gregory School is at 3231 North Craycroft. It's $10 to get in, but I believe that raffle includes, they're giving away like a Corvette or something.
They are, and I've seen many ads for it, and I think Rotary's involved. It's a great event.
Yeah, so tonight too, by the way, there's a lot of these haunted houses up, but if you're looking for a not too frightful, Trail Dust Town is doing a not too frightful Fridays from 5 to 8. It's a $10 wristbands for unlimited rides, but it's for kids so that they don't have to get too scared but still want to go to have some fun with Halloween.
Is this like for snowflake kids? Like they just can't take too much, or just young ones?
I think it's probably young ones.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to beat up on them, but you know. Like, come on, it's supposed to be scary.
And then Marana's Fall Festival is happening tomorrow from 2 to 9. There's going to be carnival rides. I love this, mutton busting. live music and performances. There's going to be a beer garden. And then that night is going to be a Nightmare Before Christmas is going to be screened. Mm-hmm. And that is free to attend. And that is at Marana Heritage Farm for that. And also, if you're looking for some plants, there's a plant sale going at Michigan Garden tomorrow morning, 8 to 1. They have Desert Survivors, or you can swap seeds with the Mission Garden. So that's, again, happening 8 to 1 tomorrow at Mission Gardens on Mission Lane.
Okay, very good. Thank you to Leslie Lois from 101.7 The Drive. Always a pleasure.
Yes, it's been great. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for joining us this week when Bill was off, for sticking in there with us. He'll be back next week. Just a reminder that the Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Brendan, who is behind the glass today, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson.
KBY Cortero, Tucson's only live local news and talk, a Bustos Media station.